we thank you that there are aspects that we can learn from. We ask for your blessing now on this time in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about this thing keeps going off and on too, but I take a look at our day today, and we're about to celebrate July 4th and the great freedoms, freedoms that we're able to enjoy here in the United States, and yet those freedoms are diminishing daily. There are more and more travesties that are going on. There's more and more conflict. As we come to this passage in Daniel chapter 7, it gives us a little insight. If you recall, we could look backwards in time to prophecies fulfilled, and we could look forward in time to prophecies yet to come. What I'd like to do is just for our few minutes this morning, a little over 15 minutes, we'll try to pack this in, is we're going to have three objectives that I'd like to cover. First one is I'd like about the arrival of this little horn, which we also know to be the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. He's got multiple names, and in Revelation he's described as the beast. So we're going to take a look at his arrival for just a few minutes. We're going to also take a look at his character, and we're going to look at his actions. One of the things that I keep reflecting on as I consider this individual, this has got to be the most ungodly, wicked, just atrocious individual that is going to be coming on the face of the planet. He is going to wreak havoc, an incredible impact on our world. Haven't seen it. No theological perspective. We won't see it from heaven. It was going to be. But this guy is going to be one of the worst people that we could ever imagine on planet Earth. Thank you. Now, taking a look at his arrival, what I'm more looking at is going to be setting the stage again for understanding of prophetic things. And I'm going to stand over here so that folks can see, because we're going to go through a couple slides here. But once again, we've been focusing in from Daniel 2, and now we're touching on it in Daniel 7, on what we call the time of the Gentiles, which is when Jerusalem fell, a little bit after Daniel was taken as a prisoner to Babylon, and it will extend until the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the end of the tribulation period. Here we are today. We're no longer looking backward, but we're now looking forward, and we're going to be looking at an event that takes place right here in the tribulation period. Now, if you remember, the Lord has already given Daniel and those associated with him a picture of that time frame. So if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about this image. The head was gold, representing Babylon. Silver was the chest and arms. Bronze, Greece, was the loins and the thighs of bronze. And then Rome came with its iron. And then we have the 10 toes, or the feet of the 10 toes, made of iron and clay. And finally, we have the rock that was cut out without man's hands. This is the time of the time of the Gentiles. This is what we need to have our perspective of, because this is where this man of lawlessness, this little horn, is going to end up coming. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we did a study of the same being presented, but with different imagery in Daniel chapter 7. And of course, we had Babylon, which was a lion with wings. We had Medo-Persia, which was a bear with one hunched up shoulder, which was Medo-Persia. We had Greece shown by being a leopard with four wings, very fast, and four heads, representing the four generals after Alexander the Great's death. And then we had the picture of the great terrifying beast. Of course, the great terrifying beast had bronze claws, and everywhere he went, he rained destruction. Nothing was outside of his tromping and destroying. And that was a great picture of Rome. As we continued in our consideration, we again saw that the beasts and the parts of the image represented this time frame. But specifically, what we're looking at this morning is this time frame here, which we call the tribulation. Prior to the tribulation starting will be the rapture of the church. We will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord and with him always from that time point, or from that time forward. We will be caught up into the clouds. And at that particular point, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes reference to the man of lawlessness then comes into his place. We're going to look at him just a tiny bit more. The man of lawlessness then rules during this seven-year period. It is going to be bad enough that God is pouring out his curses upon planet Earth and making this a place that is almost to be taking a look at this man who is going to do dastardly things with the people in our world. Now, as we come to this passage, I want to just bring together chapter 2 and chapter 7. Chapter 2 and chapter 7. In chapter 7, we read in the verses that we considered there just a few minutes ago that fourth terrifying beast had 10 horns. And so I'm just depicting this to show us 10 horns. And we find out that in the latter part, and we're not going to have time to get there today, but the latter part of chapter 7 where the interpretation takes place, this is going to be a picture of 10 kings or kingdoms that are going to surface. Now, I don't know about you, but I was always encouraged as I was growing up to always be looking at news headline prophecy. Well, I don't take that into consideration that much anymore. I'm not specifically looking for 10 nations amalgamating together. For a number of years, theologians used to say, oh, that's going to be the European Economic Community. But now they've got 30-some nations that are with it. My suspicion is this is going to appear very, very quickly as things transpire with the rapture in the church and then the oncoming of the prophecy of the Antichrist. Now, correlating it together, remember, we still haven't talked about the clay feet and the toes, and we're not going to do anything more but just discuss it today. But remember, Rome was here. This is what many dispensational teachers call the revived Roman Empire. And it's representative of the 10 horns that we see on that terrifying beast, just as we have 10 toes. And of course, chapter 2 tells us that it is very weak and brittle. The clay and the iron do not mix well together. It's going to be fragile. But one other thing that's going to happen is there's going to be this little horn that is talked about in chapter 7. And this is the horn that we're looking at today, is the little horn which we all know as the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness, the beast, as referenced in Revelation chapter 13. And there are a host of other places in the scripture as well. But this little guy is going to come up after these kingdoms are established, perhaps right after the rapture, and he's not going to be happy. And so what he's going to do is he's going to uproot three kingdoms, because he is, from the text, it kind of gives the idea, he's not happy at being just a little horn. He wants to be the big guy. And I'm suspecting, again, we can only look forward, this is prophetic, and we cannot determine the specifics, but I suspect at some point when he is exercising his frustration at wanting to be the top dog of the 10 kingdom league, these guys resist, and he uproots them, tears them up. And then as we move towards the interpretive part of Daniel chapter 7, we find out that the little horn no longer stays little, but he becomes very large. So this is what I wanted to do, and realizing we have just a tiny bit of time. And when I read this chapter, we've got weeks of material that we could cover in here. There are so many details. I've been paraphrasing for you, but it's the impression. Again, just think of it in terms of we're coming into troubled times now. What better instance would it be for the Antichrist to come than for the world to be in disarray economically, politically, militarily, and then all of a sudden millions of Christians disappear. And in that vacuum, I could imagine the world is going to say, we need somebody to help us. This is too much of a mess. And I believe in there is that 10 kingdom confederation. What it is exactly, I don't know. Is it just in Europe? I don't know. Is it representative of the entire world? I suspect it probably is. But in the midst of that chaos, this little horn's going to come up, and he's going to say, I want to be the top dog of the group. Three resist him, roots them out, and he grows and he becomes the chief dictator, I'll call it, of what's left of that kingdom. Now let's take a look at character for just a minute. The first thing to say is this man is going to be powerful. I get the impression that he's going to be a fantastic orator. He's going to be able to convince people with his speech that they need to go ahead and embrace him. He's strong in the fact that he's not happy to be part of a 11-king rulership. He says, I want to be the biggest, the greatest. And so he's strong in respect that he tears up three of these kings, or these kings, from this kingdom of takes up the role. That takes strength, because all the seven could have resisted against him as well. And yet he has the effect, and he becomes great, and he becomes the top one. I think he's going to be, because he's going to be involved in creating one of the first peace treaties with Israel. That is something that presidents and prime ministers and all kinds have attempted to do in our day and time, and they've not been successful. This man is going to be intelligent, and he's going to be strong and forceful, and he's going to have great arguments, and he is a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. Just mentioned his intelligence. The image, if you remember, had eyes, and it made point specifically to the fact that he had eyes like a human. We end up having other images in the scripture talking about things having eyes as well. But in this particular one, this little horn had the eyes of a man. And I would just submit to you that it's an illustration of the intelligence of this individual that is going to be coming to power. Another thing that I would bring out, again, just for time, I'm trying to just get to the highlights here, is he is going to be boastful. He is going to be boastful. What did it say? He had a mouth that spoke boastful words. And we find other passages of scripture that his boasting was blasphemy. And if we had time, we could go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we find out that he was so boastful that he even defied God. He raised himself up above God himself. And so he's going to be an incredibly boastful person. He's going to speak out against the Most High. I don't know. I think knowing the little I know of God in an experience, last person I would want to go and get in his face and say, God, I blaspheme you. I defy you. That is something that we'll find out at 11 o'clock does not bode well for him. Another thing that is so is that he is going to be satanically empowered. And I believe this is one of the reasons why he is going to be so persuasive and powerful in this world. We find in Revelation chapter 13, verses 2 to 4. It doesn't let one of his horn of the beast or the man of lawlessness And so we find out that this little man is going to become a great man of great wickedness, and he is going to be empowered by Satan. Something that is going to be also persuasive for others as well. The actions, just three little items here. We're going to go and get some munchies. Actions. First one, High God. Again, we could go to, actually, let's go there for just a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, and let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And we're talking about the second coming, or I'm sorry, the rapture of the church. The apostasy come first, and the man of lawlessness, this is another name for the little horn, or this beast as described in Revelation 13, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. This is going to be part of the judgment that he's going to be bringing on Israel when he breaks the covenant. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to assume a place in there. He's going to sacrifice pigs and unclean things there. He's going to be an abomination. He desires to set himself above God. Second thing is he's going to wear with the saints. This is a repeat statement that is made throughout Daniel chapter 7. He is going to wage war with the saints, and guess what? He's going to win. He's going to be successful. Again, we're looking at the tribulation now. At the tribulation period, and in that tribulation period, anybody that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior becomes fair target for the little horn. He is going to wage war with the saints. And so when you get to Revelation chapter 20, and we're looking at end events, what was there? It was the souls of those that lost their life during the tribulation. There are going to be many the tribulation period, and it is because of this wicked, godless man. And so he is going to wage war, and he's going to be successful for a period of time. He has these intentions ahead to make changes to time. So exactly what we're looking at that he's going to attempt to change, but some of the things that come to mind with time would be, could he possibly be changing the time of night and day? Could be flexing that? What about having summer for 6 months of the year? Perhaps these might. What about ruling over exercises that Almighty God does? He determines who time during those 7 years where he's going to exercise his function of changing when kings, you get to rule, I don't know. But he's going to be intent on that. Laws, the two that I think of would be the moral laws. He could be one that goes ahead and sells right and wrong. And secondly, we could be looking at natural laws. I think with his power endowed to him by Satan, he's going to, as an example, he's going to be intent on this. He's going to be somewhat successful. But in the end, at 11 o'clock, we're going to find out he will feel the wrath of God and he will meet his demise. So again, just wrapping up, this is right now, we think that maybe it's getting bad with what is going on around us. This is nothing yet. This is nothing yet. But this man is going to come after the church of Jesus Christ is raptured and taken into heaven, It'll be during the 7 years of the tribulation period, and in those times he's going to have great power, great influence, and he is going to be the most wicked representative of the human race on planet Earth. And God's going to deal with him. My encouragement to you today is, again, we are looking at a prophetic event. It is something that we don't know all the have the large quantity of prophecies already fulfilled. I can go to the bank knowing that these events are going to take place. I again remind you, this is not our home. This is not our home. Our government is not perfect. The governments of the world are not perfect. We're not perfect. Our health is not perfect. This is not our home. But one of the hopes we have, you might not have to listen to me at 11 o'clock because we might be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. Our God and Father, we thank you so much this morning for, again, your word. There's so much that we can learn. We've only just touched the tip of the iceberg related to this wicked, wicked man that will be coming. Perhaps he's already alive on the world scene and we just don't recognize him. We thank you that we have the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back today. May we encourage one another with those words. At the same time, Father, we pray that we would be diligent to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as we can, because if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have the real reality of possibly having to spend time under the influence of this terrible, wicked man. Thank you that you are not discouraged and that you are not concerned about winning. And we just pray that you would continue to encourage our hearts as we look at the next few thoughts in Daniel chapter 7 in a little bit. Father, we do thank you for our nation. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. And here we are celebrating July 4th, a time when we again revel in and remember that we are now part of a so-called free country. I pray that you would bless us as we go back in fellowship. Thank you for the many snacks that have prepared for us. And we ask for your blessing on the rest of our day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.